from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Mountain Mama, take me home, country roads.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, and if you were with us late last week, you know that I read a post on our Facebook page that was particularly touching and impactful for me personally, and I hope that it mattered to you as well, because many of you have sent loved ones, family, friends, overseas, or they've been deployed domestically and they've been away from you in service to our country in one of our military branches. And to know that they have a piece of home is really important, whether it's care packages, whether it's video calls. Gosh, remember when there were no video calls or these members of our military didn't have access to cell phones, and it was so much harder to communicate with people back home. Thankfully, those communication lines are now open and it is easier, but it doesn't mean it's always safer. It certainly doesn't mean it's any less dangerous or that the separation is any less painful. And yet we hear from people routinely, multiple times per year, whether a caller like Stefan or whether it's a post on our Facebook page like we had last week, indicating that we are a piece of home for those who listen overseas. Whether it's Afghanistan, whether it's Iraq, whether it's Kuwait. I've actually heard from people who've come back and have said, a lot like Stefan, we listened all the time. That just blows me away. You want to talk about an honor. It's an honor. It's a privilege. And so if you have that experience, you served, awesome. Would love to hear from you on Twitter at ALAW Radio or on our Facebook page. And then also you can send us, whether it's a photo, a name, a memory. We've already got a few of them up on social. Someone that you want to honor who served and made the sacrifice for our country. It is certainly the unofficial start to summer. We see it that way. I was at the airport on both Friday evening and then again on Sunday morning, and the airports are jammed. I was in 3 different airports during those times, all jammed. Flights are full. Traffic is crazy in both Texas and in the New York City area. People are on the move, 44 million Americans traveling this weekend. So yeah, I get it. It's an opportunity for people to get out, people to enjoy spending time together. Maybe it's a beach trip. Maybe it's a vacation. Maybe it's a backyard barbecue. Whatever it is, I know it's nice to have that long weekend and kind of launch the summer. But there is a real personal and somber reason for this holiday, and I hope that you will take some time to remember, to memorialize. Maybe watch one of the parades or listen to a tribute. there'll be a bunch of them that are made on either local or national news. Gosh, even in the world of sports, NASCAR, which didn't finish its Coca-Cola 600 because of rain, they actually ended up calling it before they finished all the laps, which is kind of a disappointing end to what was a day full of promise with the Indy 500 and the Coca-Cola 600. It didn't go the way that people were hoping. But they do such a great job honoring America and our military. Each one of the cars had the name of a fallen soldier or sailor written on it, printed on it. It doesn't take a whole lot of effort by us as Americans to take a minute to remember them. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Bill is listening in Oakland. Bill, thank you for joining the show.
Yes, hello. I just want to say I really appreciate you and your show.
Thank you, sir.
The format. And I just really love the way you honor our veterans. I was in the Air Force, and fortunately, I never had to serve in combat. But I had a father and two uncles that served in Vietnam. But I was in Oahu, a place called Pickham Air Force Base, not too far from where you were, Pearl Harbor.
Right.
And it was 2001, the 60th anniversary of the Pearl Harbor bombing. I met a wonderful gentleman. He was a second lieutenant in 1941, stationed at Hickam Air Force Base. And on December 6th, he met the girl of his dreams, which turned out to be his wife. And he said he was so enthralled with her, he never slept. And on the morning of December 7th, he had a choice to go to the mess hall and have fresh eggs and pancakes or go pick flowers for this wonderful girl. And he picked the flowers, and that decision saved his life because the Japanese attack occurred and the mess wall was hit at Hickam, and he saw what he described as hell on earth in Pearl Harbor, and his high school friend was serving on the USS California, which came out relatively unscathed. But he said the world he knew changed when he just watched it, an orange ball of fire, and he said it was the most helpless feeling he ever had in his life.
Oh, gosh.
But he was so grateful to come back and have 60 years later and have people appreciate him, even though he wasn't at Pearl Harbor. He did serve in the armed forces.
Mm. Powerful story. It was a place where when I was there, not only was it quiet, and those who are stationed there in the Navy, they make sure that people remember it's a burial site. But to be out there, as much as I had high expectations for Pearl Harbor and had wanted to be there for so long, to be out there on the memorial and to look down into the USS Arizona, gosh, that feeling, just to know what had happened there and the number of heroes that we had who fought to the bitter end, but also the number of people who just in an instant, they were gone and their families' lives were changed forever. It was really powerful to be there. And so I appreciate you sharing that story. I know that Pearl Harbor just lost its last surviving member. I think it was about 3 weeks ago or so he passed away. There was one man left who had been part of that conflict. It's good to hear the stories because if we don't continue to share them, Bill, people will forget, right? Because it's a generation, well, multiple generations now who weren't alive when it happened and don't know it with that personal aspect.
Yes, Amy, I appreciate you honoring the Air Forces, especially the Thunderbirds during the Super Bowl. But you're right. It's important to keep the memory alive. I saw on YouTube there are several young college students didn't even know what Pearl Harbor was or when it took place. So that's kind of a shame.
Mm. Well, thank you so much, Bill, for your service and for listening to the show and for calling up and sharing that memory with us. It means a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. 855-212-4227. And we're glad to hear from anyone who has a story similar or just your own personal perspective on Memorial Day or someone that you would like to talk about. I've already seen some photos as well as some memories popping up on our social media at Amy After Hours. We'll retweet those. And then there's a thread on our Facebook page. And so it's more important to me than anything else we do on these holiday weekends. And we also do it Veterans Day as well, even if it doesn't follow on a weekend. I, like many of you, have family members, really close friends who've served. And I know now that I'm married to a Texan, I run into people who are serving all the time, personal aspects, best friends of some of the family members or other people that, we were hoping would be at the wedding this weekend and were unable to be there because of deployment. So in Texas, it's very prominent because a third of our American military comes from the Lone Star State. And so everyone has an experience there. So I just appreciate so much that you would trust us with your memories. And we really do want to share those. Elliot is in Vancouver. Elliot, welcome to After Hours.
Good day. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
So, yeah, I was listening to some of the show you're talking about Memorial Day and sports and the services or services rather. And I was deployed in Afghanistan in 2009 with the Canadian Army. And so being there in 2009 leading into 2010, I got to watch the Olympics in my hometown of Vancouver, Canada here, on TV again. So
that's
it was
funny.
Interesting. It was like surreal, right? Because, I grew up playing hockey. So, of course, Canada, U.S., the base, I got a speeding ticket the day after we won the gold medal from an American MP for doing, I put it into third gear because I was redlining in second gear. And the moment I dropped the clutch, I sped, he gave me a ticket on camp. So sports is very important, especially in the forces. It brings us all together. It gives us, it's more fuel to the fire to chirp at each other with. I don't know how much time I got here, but I do have one last story with a dear friend in Edmonton. So Vancouver just lost to the Edmonton Oilers in the playoffs. And I messaged a friend of mine who's from Edmonton before the playoffs started. I said, hey, man, just checking in, telling him, can't wait for the season, the series to go. And I didn't want to mess with them, start the rivalry, bickering about the two teams or anything, because it was a great series.
It was.
And we're both hockey guys, right? So, we could play that game, but there's no point. Now, I haven't talked to Curtis probably for about 5-6 years, but I messaged him before the game. But the reason, and I kind of thought, how could I get under his skin, right? Because Army guys, we like to do this with each other, it's part of the thing. Well, while we were on camp, I went to the American PX, so you guys basically run the drugstore, right? Like the Walmart on camp, all the things you need, you go to this PX, it's there. And so one of the things I picked up was a sleeping bag liner. So it's like this fuzzy liner, really nice piece of kit to have, super cozy, whatever. I bought the last one. Curtis met me at the store going to buy that sleeping bag liner. And so when I messaged him at the beginning of the series, I just let him know, hey, man, I still go camping a lot. I'm still in the forces, right? Like I said, hey, I still use that liner. And he had forgotten about it. And he was so upset because it was like reminding him of an old wound from, 14 years ago now. And that was, that to me, made me so happy that it didn't matter that the Canucks lost. Hey, we're going to be back next year.
Wow.
Rick Tocchet has that team lined up. I can't wait to see how we're going to do it next year, but we got salary cap issues and all kinds of stuff, but yeah, that's besides the point. I just kind of wanted to touch on sports in the forces. And I think one of the callers there, I think I might be on a delay. He mentioned to you, the importance of it. And I'm here to tell you, it's super important. You guys in the media and stuff, getting that message out there to us. That's pretty much all some guys have and stuff, right? Their college team and then they bug their buddies about, how the Longhorns are doing in the season and stuff. So you know, I've worked with you guys quite a bit. So like, I got to be part of those conversations and they're great. And I thank you for it.
Oh, I thank you for your service. And it's an interesting perspective to hear it, right? When you're halfway across the globe, but also coming back home and the pieces that you bring back with you, Elliot. So thank you. It's really good to hear your perspective.
Right on. All the best.
I'm sorry. What did he say? I missed that part.
Great on, all the best. Take care.
Oh, got you.
I'm here with my dog and he's eating grass. And I'm trying to get him out of here.
Okay. Thank you, Elliot. Enjoy the weekend. I missed that part. I was like, what? And I looked at Jay and I don't think he heard it either. Did you hear it?
Because, I got him. Yeah.
Oh, great on.
I just thought he was still on the line, so I just popped him back up.
Oh, great on. Got it. Tom is in Pittsburgh. Tom, welcome to After Hours.
Hi, Amy. How are you?
I'm good.
Look, you're the best sports night talk show, or best sports talk show host that I listen to.
Oh, thank you.
I admire you for your admiration toward the fan, toward the service people. My dad was a Korean War vet. I lost three of my friends who were in wars. You're great at what you do. Go Steelers.
Thank you, Tom. And I appreciate you sharing that family perspective with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you, dear.
It's probably a day that impacts or touches, gosh, the vast majority of Americans. And Elliot was calling from Vancouver. And so that's really important, too, to remember that it's not just our American military, but our allies as well. So if you want to call and not only remember the name or honor the name of a family or friend, you can do that. Also love the personal stories. So on Twitter at Amy After Hours, if you want to send a photo, our Facebook page too, already seeing some of your amazing photos and reading your memories. And it reminds me that this is the most important part of what we do on the show on this Memorial Day weekend. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. We are definitely going to get to what was a tragedy on the PGA Tour this weekend, but an important conversation to engage in, even if it's challenging. Thanks again for making our show your choice.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Have a great day.
she was planning a welcome home barbecue.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Justin Moore, great country music singer. You certainly will see memories, moments, ceremonies to honor the military who we've lost on this Memorial Day Monday, whether you're watching baseball, NASCAR has actually finished its race. They called it before they finished it because of the rain in Charlotte. They couldn't get the 600 miles in, but they do an incredible job of honoring military. So whatever sporting event you watch on Monday, especially here in the United States, there will be moments of silence. There certainly will be American flags and national anthems and maybe even ceremonies. You'll see parades in many towns and cities around the United States. And also, if you've never had a chance to see Arlington National Cemetery, I highly recommend it with the flags that are put out on the gravestones for Memorial Day weekend. And even if you can't see it personally, find the photos. They are powerful. The rows and rows and rows of white tombstones with the flags. My father's lived in that area, in the D.C. area for decades, and I used to visit there a ton when I was a kid. My brother's now in the area. He lives in the Northern Virginia side of the Beltway. So I've spent a lot of time in D.C., and I just remember seeing it when I was young. And the Tomb of the Fallen Soldier, too, that ceremony that they do with the changing of the guard every hour, it's also very powerful. So I would encourage you to find some way to honor those men and women who paid the ultimate sacrifice and gave their lives in service to our country, but also their families. Right? It doesn't get easier the more years that go by. We as families also sacrifice when our men and women go off and serve, whether internationally or deployed here in the U.S. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, ALOL Radio, also on our Facebook page, seeing your tributes come in. These are for those family members or friends that you'd like to honor on this Memorial Day weekend. Let's talk to Matt, who's in Green Bay. Matt, welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy.
Hey.
I just want to give a shout out to my grandfather, Ralph. He served in World War II. And both my uncles who served in Korea and Vietnam.
Wow.
My uncles are still alive. My grandfather is passed about 10 years ago. And they are all wonderful, wonderful people. And they insulated us from telling us the worst of the stories. But,
oh, gosh.
They're fantastic people. And one of the saddest times I ever saw with my grandfather was watching Saving Private Ryan.
I can imagine that those types of movies, especially the ones that they designed to be as realistic and as graphic as possible to kind of underscore, you know, this wasn't some glorified movie set. This was real danger and incredibly powerful. Those movies, I can imagine, really speak to them.
It was the one time my mom sent me out of the room, like, you can't be here. But it, I love them all with all of my heart. And on this Memorial Day, I want to remember him and my family.
I appreciate that, Matt. Thank you so much. I'm glad you still have your uncles.
I do. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for listening. Good to talk to you. Let's talk to Chicago Johnny, who I didn't realize until just now is also a military vet.
Yes, I am. Amy, I'm proud to say that I am a Marine from 77 to 87. And I was stationed in San Diego, and we deployed over to Germany and had to take care of our embassy. People were starting to get a little crazy out there. So we had to, slap a couple of guys around a little bit out there to protect our embassy. But my father was a Navy, and that's where I met my mom, was on board the USS Missouri, I believe it was called. And my brother was a National Guard for about 10 years. So, but yeah, I don't know if I ever told you that I was in the that I'm a Marine. And
no,
I'm surprised I never even told you that. But you guys have made us so proud to, as the song goes, proud to be an American.
I'm so glad.
And it was a heartwarming experience, and I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Good.
We're just proud. And the way you Americans really support us veterans is unbelievable. And we cannot thank you guys enough for what you guys do for us. So
I'm glad to hear that.
I just wanted to thank you and let you know that, we're very proud to be an American. And we will fight for our country.
Thank you, Johnny. Thank you for sharing that personal story. I know you hadn't told me before, so I wish that I had known. I would have thanked you in person, but thank you so much for serving our country.
Okay. That's okay. It's my pleasure. Thank you very much, and I'll be listening.
All right. Take care, Johnny.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Well, that's cool. Another aspect of Chicago, Johnny, that we did not know. And I'm glad to hear him say that he is proud to serve his country, because I know that you read stories or even hear from veterans of Vietnam, especially, who don't feel like they were appreciated or welcomed home. It was such a conflict that was controversial at the time. I wasn't alive then, but it was so controversial at the time that when the soldiers came home, and admittedly came home without achieving their goals, it was a conflict, I think that widely accepted the U.S. lost in that conflict, and many people would say that the military, well, the U.S. government ultimately had to close up shop and almost came home with its tail between its legs. It makes me sad, because the men and women who served shouldn't be treated like they were losers or that they were doing something wrong. They were following orders. They were protecting our country. And if their orders were misguided or the direction they were given or even participating in the conflict is something you don't support, that's one thing. But to not support the people who went there and did what they could to follow orders and serve not just the U.S. and to serve under our flag and were subjected to such atrocities, they still deserve to be not only remembered, but to be honored, even if, again, you didn't agree with the conflict. So I know that there are a lot of mixed opinions when it comes to war and our military and where we serve and how we serve, especially overseas. But I hope that you can separate the details of what maybe the government sends our military into from the people who do it. It's not necessarily their choice where they serve or how they serve, only that they've signed up to serve because it matters to them. And that in and of itself is a sacrifice of a few years at the very least. And obviously we know that there are a lot of military men and women who serve multiple tours and decades. So we thank those people on Veterans Day for sure. And we're glad that we still have them around, that we can thank them on this Memorial Day, remembering those who paid the ultimate price. I was just looking it up because I didn't know how long the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier had been, guarded, protected, honored, even how long it had been established. And it's a symbolic grave for all of those whose remains or identities were never confirmed, right? So they're presumed lost. Their families never saw them again. They didn't have the closure of having a body or remains returned from overseas or from a conflict so that they could properly bury them. And instead, it's a collective tomb that started now, as I know, because I wanted to look and find, started back in 1930. And so we're talking about nearly 100 years now. The final design of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier was completed in 1932. And it's a grave of three unidentified service members, but it's supposed to represent all of those who were lost in battle or prisoners of war that were never returned home. And so it's preserving the memory of those military members throughout American history. And it is really powerful. Again, similar to what I experienced on the USS Arizona with Pearl Harbor and that memorial. You're supposed to be quiet. You're not supposed to be making a lot of noise. You're supposed to recognize that this is a somber place. It's a burial site, and it's there at Arlington National Cemetery. And so soldiers were first assigned to guard the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier now over 100 years ago. And so that way you didn't have people walking on it or stepping on it. And then in 1937, the guards became a 24-hour presence. So they stand watch over the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier at all times. And that changing of the guard and that guard who walks around it, I think it's once an hour. It's powerful. It's worth seeing in person, whether you have the chance or watching it on a video as well. But yeah, the changing of the guard, it's ceremonial. There's a short ceremony, a couple of minutes that's all it takes in terms of the performance of it. But it's considered an honor for military members to be there. And so there is a sentinel on duty in front of the tomb every minute. That's how it happens. They never leave it. Going back now, as I say, nearly 100 years. And there's all kinds of very intensive training and a really intense selection process to be allowed to serve and to guard the tomb. But I didn't know this. There's not only a salute, but there's a routine that they do that is very meticulous. For those of you who've ever seen even just a color guard perform or march, there's a very particular routine that they have to do when the soldiers change they do the changing of the guard, and apparently they drill for months before they're allowed to be out there once they've made it through the selection process. So the U.S. Department of Defense is where you can read more about it, or you can see the videos on the Arlington National Cemetery website too. That's something I highly recommend. I've seen it a few times and it's really powerful. On Twitter at Amy After Hours, we're retweeting any of your names or photos of loved ones who paid the ultimate price and sacrifice to our country, service to our country, and also on our Facebook page. And coming up, it's powerful in a different way, the battle with anxiety, depression, even addiction, and suicide, claiming the life of a PGA golfer at age 30. His parents wrote a letter that was read on CBS as part of the PGA Tour coverage on Sunday. As you can imagine, really difficult for not just Jim Nantz, but for the other golfers who were then interviewed on CBS and were sharing their memories of Grayson Murray. Another reminder that life is fragile and it's fleeting, and that many human beings, whether professional athletes or not, are battling demons that sometimes we don't even know until it's too late. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
These are colors that ring true to all I am and feel and love and do. I stand proud and brave and tall. I want justice.
One of the reasons that I love country music, and I know it's not every song or every artist, but country music does a great job also honoring our country and our military. How many country music stars have gone overseas to bases in the Mideast and other places, certainly Germany, and to be able to try to entertain and encourage our men and women who are stationed overseas. I'm not saying it's only country music, so don't get me wrong, just that I do love how important it is to the country music industry and also to NASCAR. It's one of the reasons why I love NASCAR and always enjoyed going to races. I had season tickets, my family and I did, for both Pocono and Talladega for a couple of decades, and always do a phenomenal job honoring our military. I think the NFL does as well. Major League Baseball, as they play a Memorial Day, they will certainly have moments of silence and will have tributes to our men and women who were lost in the line of duty. So you'll see it in sports on Monday and throughout the weekend. I'm sure you did as well. We're just doing a little thing on our part, and that is to take your names, photos, memories of loved ones who served and made that ultimate sacrifice, either on Twitter at Amy After Hours. Some of you are sending photos that are very moving, so thank you for that. And also on our Facebook page, too. So please check out that thread. And our phone number is 855-212-4227. We will get back to the games. We've got conference finals continuing in both hoops and hockey. But, man, as I was flying home and flying home from Texas, not Dallas-Fort Worth, but the Austin area on Sunday morning, I was looking through the headlines and saw what is a tragedy from the PGA Tour. And Jim Nantz was given the unenviable task of sharing this news with the CBS audience on what was Sunday morning. So now we're talking about the final round of a PGA Tour tournament, an event in which Grayson Murray had participated in rounds 1 and 2 and had withdrawn after Friday's round, saying he wasn't feeling well. So the PGA Tour put it down as an illness, but come to find out, it was a lot more than that.
Grayson Murray, an 8-year PGA Tour veteran and a winner earlier this year in Hawaii at the Sony Open, was found dead this morning, dead at the age of 30. We've just received a statement from Commissioner Jay Monahan. He has sent this statement to his membership, and the commissioner is saying, "We were devastated to learn and are heartbroken to share that Grayson Murray passed away this morning. I am at a loss for words." The PGA Tour is a family, and when you lose a member of your family, you are never the same. There is nothing we can do but mourn Grayson and pray for comfort for his loved ones. I reached out to Grayson's parents to offer our deepest condolences, and during that conversation, they asked that we continue with tournament play. They were adamant that Grayson would want us to do so. As difficult as it will be, we want to respect their wishes, the commissioner went on to add. He had battled some troubling times and had been sober since last summer. And early this year, he triumphed in Hawaii, the Sony Open. He was playing some great golf recently, including 10th just a couple weeks ago at the Wells Fargo, making the cut last Sunday and last weekend in Valhalla, shooting 67 on Sunday.
The voice of Jim Nantz, you can hear him struggling. And he also did break down on CBS as he was sharing this tragic news about 30-year-old Grayson Murray, a professional golfer who seemingly had finally conquered the demons that he battled. Not only had he won recently, as you hear from Jim, but he made the cut at the PGA Championship, a major, and was able to play through the weekend and have a great Sunday final round. But he withdrew from the Charles Schwab Challenge at the Colonial. This is in Fort Worth, after the 16th hole of Friday's second round, and the PGA Tour cited that as an illness. And so you hear the statement from the commissioner, Jay Monahan, but that's mild compared to the statement or the letter from his parents. "We have spent the last 24 hours trying to come to terms with the fact that our son is gone. It's surreal that we not only have to admit it to ourselves, but we also have to acknowledge it to the world. It's a nightmare. Life wasn't always easy for Grayson, and although he took his own life, we know he rests peacefully now." His parents continued, "We have so many questions that have no answers, but one, was Grayson loved? The answer is yes. By us, his brother Cameron, his sister Erica, all of his extended family, by his friends, by his fellow players, and it seems by many of you who are reading this, he was loved and he will be missed." Yeah, how do you summarize the life of a 30-year-old who had so many demons and had done so much to get on a healthy path, both mentally and physically, personally, professionally, and yet in an instant, this decision that's so final and so fatal and so painful.
We saw him putting out yesterday in that coverage, that footage, at the 16th hole. He had bogeyed 14, 15, and 16. He turned to his playing partners, that was at 12:07 yesterday, and told them that he was done, he was going to withdraw. He said he was not feeling well. He was one off what would be the eventual cut line, and the clubhouse is right next to that green. He went in and withdrew from the tournament. Mm-hmm. And now we just find out here in the last few minutes that Grayson has passed away at the age of 30. I can't even imagine how this is going to hit the membership and those players if they do find out they're on the course. Yeah. He was just here competing in Fort Worth.
They found out. They did find out. And there were some emotional interviews, some emotional tributes paid. We'll let you hear from a few of those after the top of the hour. But his playing partner, Peter Malnati, spent Thursday and Friday with him, and he really felt this hard once the news broke.
We get so worked up out here about, you know, a bad break here or good break there. Look. You know, we're so competitive. So competitive out here. We all want to beat each other. And then something like this happens and you realize that we're all just humans. And this is just a really, it's a really hard day.
Again, that's Peter Malnati, who spent Thursday and Friday, most of Friday, with Grayson Murray as his playing partner in the first two rounds of the Colonial Tournament. So the news was spreading, and you had guys like Scottie Scheffler, who was competing for the win. Of course, we know what Scottie went through in the last couple of weeks. He spoke, as did Webb Simpson. And then Jay found a speech from Grayson himself after he won the Sony. I think it was after he won the Sony Open, or maybe it was going back to his days on the Korn Ferry Tour. But he was open about his struggles with alcoholism and mental illness, with depression, with anxiety. But the sad thing is, he had seemingly turned a corner. Not only had he been sober, according to Grayson, he was sober for months now. Finally, not that you're ever done battling those demons and staring down that monster, but he was engaged to be married. And as someone who just went through this, I can't even imagine how his fiance feels right now. But thinking of Grayson and his family, and you'll hear from more of the PGA golfers coming up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
These are colors that ring true to all I am and feel and love and do. I stand proud and brave and tall. I want just
one of the reasons that I love country music, and I know it's not every song or every artist, but country music does a great job also honoring our country and our military. How many country music stars have gone overseas to bases in the Mideast and other places, certainly Germany, and to be able to try to entertain and encourage our men and women who are stationed overseas. I'm not saying it's only country music, so don't get me wrong, just that I do love how important it is to the country music industry and also to NASCAR. It's one of the reasons why I love NASCAR and always enjoyed going to races. I had season tickets, my family and I did, for both Pocono and Talladega for a couple of decades. And always do a phenomenal job honoring our military. I think the NFL does as well. Major League Baseball, as they play a Memorial Day, they will certainly have moments of silence and will have tributes to our men and women who were lost in the line of duty. So you'll see it in sports on Monday and throughout the weekend. I'm sure you did as well. We're just doing a little thing on our part, and that is to take your names, photos, memories of loved ones who served and made that ultimate sacrifice, either on Twitter at Amy After Hours. Some of you are sending photos that are very moving, so thank you for that. And also on our Facebook page, too. So please check out that thread. And our phone number is 855-212-4227. We will get back to the games. We've got conference finals continuing in both hoops and hockey. But, man, as I was flying home and flying home from Texas, not Dallas-Fort Worth, but the Austin area on Sunday morning, I was looking through the headlines and saw what is a tragedy from the PGA Tour. And Jim Nantz was given the unenviable task of sharing this news with the CBS audience on what was Sunday morning. So now we're talking about the final round of a PGA Tour tournament, an event in which Grayson Murray had participated in rounds 1 and 2 and had withdrawn after Friday's round, saying he wasn't feeling well. So the PGA Tour put it down as an illness, but come to find out, it was a lot more than that.
Grayson Murray, an 8-year PGA Tour veteran and a winner earlier this year in Hawaii at the Sony Open, was found dead this morning, dead at the age of 30. We've just received a statement from Commissioner Jay Monahan. He has sent this statement to his membership, and the commissioner is saying, "We were devastated to learn and are heartbroken to share that Grayson Murray passed away this morning. I am at a loss for words." The PGA Tour is a family, and when you lose a member of your family, you are never the same. There is nothing we can do but mourn Grayson and pray for comfort for his loved ones. I reached out to Grayson's parents to offer our deepest condolences, and during that conversation, they asked that we continue with tournament play. They were adamant that Grayson would want us to do so. As difficult as it will be, we want to respect their wishes, the commissioner went on to add. He had battled some troubling times and had been sober since last summer. And early this year, he triumphed in Hawaii at the Sony Open. He was playing some great golf recently, including 10th just a couple weeks ago at the Wells Fargo, making the cut last Sunday and last weekend in Valhalla, shooting 67 on Sunday.
The voice of Jim Nantz, you can hear him struggling, and he also did break down on CBS as he was sharing this tragic news about 30-year-old Grayson Murray, a professional golfer who seemingly had finally conquered the demons that he battled. Not only had he won recently, as you hear from Jim, but he made the cut at the PGA Championship, a major, and was able to play through the weekend and have a great Sunday final round. But he withdrew from the Charles Schwab Challenge at the Colonial. This is in Fort Worth, after the 16th hole of Friday's second round, and the PGA Tour cited that as an illness. And so you hear the statement from the commissioner, Jay Monahan, but that's mild compared to the statement or the letter from his parents. "We have spent the last 24 hours trying to come to terms with the fact that our son is gone. It's surreal that we not only have to admit it to ourselves, but we also have to acknowledge it to the world. It's a nightmare. Life wasn't always easy for Grayson, and although he took his own life, we know he rests peacefully now." His parents continued, "We have so many questions that have no answers, but one, was Grayson loved? The answer is yes. By us, his brother Cameron, his sister Erica, all of his extended family, by his friends, by his fellow players, and it seems by many of you who are reading this, he was loved and he will be missed." Yeah, how do you summarize the life of a 30-year-old who had so many demons and had done so much to get on a healthy path, both mentally and physically, personally, professionally, and yet in an instant, this decision that's so final and so fatal and so painful.
We saw him putting out yesterday in that coverage, that footage, at the 16th hole. He had bogeyed 14, 15, and 16. He turned to his playing partners. That was at 12:07 yesterday and told them that he was done, he was going to withdraw. He said he was not feeling well. He was one off what would be the eventual cut line, and the clubhouse is right next to that green. He went in and withdrew from the tournament. Mm-hmm. And now we just find out here in the last few minutes that Grayson has passed away at the age of 30. I can't even imagine how this is going to hit the membership and those players if they do find out they're on the course. Yeah. He was just here competing in Fort Worth.
They found out. They did find out. And there were some emotional interviews, some emotional tributes paid. We'll let you hear from a few of those after the top of the hour. But his playing partner, Peter Malnati, spent Thursday and Friday with him, and he really felt this hard once the news broke.
We get so worked up out here about, you know, a bad break here or good break there. Look. You know, we're so competitive. So competitive out here. We all want to beat each other. And then something like this happens and you realize that we're all just humans. And this is just a really, it's a really hard day.
Again, that's Peter Malnati, who spent Thursday and Friday, most of Friday, with Grayson Murray as his playing partner in the first two rounds of the Colonial Tournament. So the news was spreading, and you had guys like Scottie Scheffler, who was competing for the win. Of course, we know what Scottie went through in the last couple of weeks. He spoke, as did Webb Simpson. And then Jay found a speech from Grayson himself after he won the Sony. I think it was after he won the Sony Open, or maybe it was going back to his days on the Korn Ferry Tour. But he was open about his struggles with alcoholism and mental illness, with depression, with anxiety. But the sad thing is, he had seemingly turned a corner. Not only had he been sober, according to Grayson, he was sober for months now. Finally, not that you're ever done battling those demons and staring down that monster, but he was engaged to be married. And as someone who just went through this, I can't even imagine how his fiance feels right now. But thinking of Grayson and his family, and you'll hear from more of the PGA golfers coming up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.